Well, hello, 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 my friends, and welcome to the Pulse. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Guys, today is such a very special day. It's actually a really crazy cool day for all of us here because guess what it is that we're doing? Right now, as soon as I get through talking to you, I'm going to run downstairs and we are filming the second season of the most successful show that we have ever done. And you know it as, dun-dun-dun, The Counter. I'm The Counter, by the way. I'm the guy that counts everything, right? But I'm down there, downstairs. And guys, as soon as I get through, I'm going to run down there and we're going to do this thing. Joseph Z is here. Alan DiDio is here. Tony Merkel is here. Darren Stott is here. Schwartz is here. And then other people that I didn't even invite have showed up. So since we have launched this show, we've had over 3,800 new people sign up and actually partner with us at odx.tv to be a part of this incredible ODX family. I'm just so grateful. And everybody there has 24/7 access to all that we do. All right. Now that partnership means that more kids have been rescued. Guys, you guys do recognize we rescued 908 kids last year. In the year 2025, 908 kids. And a big part of that is because of your partnership from this first season of this show that I'm about to film downstairs. And that means more lives forever change. And so, guys, we're in a process of raising funds for this incredible and beautiful home where we're going to be able to house pregnant mamas and their babies right here in the United States. As a matter of fact, I want to show you a little piece of it. Kaboom! There she blows, Captain. Look at the front door of this joint. Are you kidding me? Imagine a little girl coming in from a terrible, dark place and stepping up into this beautiful, beautiful mansion. I mean, it's only 35,000 square feet. It's only three stories tall. It's even got a dadgum elevator in the center because we don't want these pregos having to walk up and down the dadgum steps. We want them treated like queens. So while we are so grateful for season one of The Counter, which was such a huge success, guys, we have a lot riding upon the success of season number two. I'm calling it the double barrel season two. So be in prayer for us today. Please do that. Stop what you're doing and pray for us and say, I'm going to pray for those guys. We do media so that we can rescue kids. So what's going to happen today on The Pulse? I mean, why in the world are you tuning in? Well, I'm going to do something that we have never, ever done before. I'm going to show you a full hour-long episode of our most watched episode of The Counter Season 1, the whole hour. So if you're watching on YouTube and not on ODX, you've only been able to see the first dadgum 30 minutes. But today, we're going to give you a look at the full episode in hopes that you will go and join ODX.TV today so that you can binge on the entire season. So are y'all ready for this? I hope that you are because I'm going to run back down to the set. I don't want them to start season two without me. You can't let Darren Stott take over this show. Guys, this is The Counter, episode number 6, and it's on Bell Worship and human trafficking. And guys, I got to get. Bye-bye.
Bell Worship, sex magic, human trafficking, and pornography. It's actually all a part of the very same things. And friends, we are not afraid to talk about it.
The world has gone crazy, y'all. Every day, the headlines scream louder. The truth gets twisted. And the darkness grows bolder. But I've got good news for you. We're not running from the darkness. We're confronting it. Buckle up, my friends. And for the past 6 months, my team has been tirelessly working to bring you something brand new. It's a show that exposes deception. It reveals kingdom truth. A show that flips the narrative of the world completely upside down. Nothing off the table. No topics that are too wild, too dark, or too controversial. Because truth doesn't hide, and light does not back down. That's exactly what you're going to see this season on The Counter. So lean in, open up your heart, because this isn't just about entertainment. It's about a great prophetic movement. Alrighty then, here we go. Let's roll it.
Welcome to The Counter, where we decode the lies of modern day culture
using biblical truths, divine revelation, and prophetic insights.
Pull up a seat to this prophetic powerhouse where we expose the enemy's playbook.
We will counter fear.
We will counter deception.
We will counter woke ideology.
We will counter legalism.
We will counter the occult.
This
is The Counter.
Joining me today is my good friend Joseph Z.
Hey, brother. Good to be with you.
My good friend Darren Stott.
God bless you, Troy.
I call you blessed, man.
Thank you, sir.
Are you ready to do this?
I'm ready to go.
Are you scared?
I didn't get dressed up for nothing.
Brother Alan DeDio, sir.
You're not afraid to talk about it.
I'm not afraid.
I know where you're going with this, so we're going to see. This is going to be an interesting conversation.
And then, of course, we have Brother Tony Merkel.
Sir.
So glad that you guys are here with us today. This is going to be great.
It is.
All right. So how would y'all like me? If you were wishing I was going to, like, okay, Troy, this is how I would tell you to start this thing off. How would y'all tell me to start this off?
I guess just rip off the Band-Aid, Troy.
I just rip off the Band-Aid.
Just go for it.
I am going to do this. You know, a while ago, one of the things that we do is I get a front row seat to see children rescued all over the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And this morning, and for the past several weeks, we have been praying over a 12-year-old child that we've been trying to rescue that is in a huge ring, which we're about to talk about. And her mother is the one that has actually plugged her into the ring and is selling her. She's a 12-year-old child.
Man.
She has a 15-year-old child. And while we were all praying just a few minutes ago with my staff, boom, we actually got the text, and we got them. We rescued them.
Hey,
that's amazing. Just within moments of actually filming this.
Thank you, God.
And I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here's what I can tell you. Whenever you're actually rescuing kids, you're not just rescuing them from just the sexuality of somebody else. You're rescuing them from something that is much, much worse than that. So what I have found is that all over the world, no matter what the scenario that children are actually being sold into, the cultures there that actually foster that is what we would call in the Western world a demonic culture. Mm. But it is more than that. Is there's actually a local deity or a local demon or a regional spirit.
Yeah.
Like beginning, if I was going to talk about the Mayans. So we work with the Mayans and we deliver and we rescue Mayan kids all over the world. It's actually been a part of the culture there for thousands and thousands of years that when your child, when your little girl actually reaches puberty and you can prove that she has, then you call everyone over and you have everyone bid on her. So we have to rescue kids from their parents. I mean, it's because of their Mayan culture. It's actually because of that Central American culture. But that didn't come from them. That came from something else. What do you guys have to say about that?
Well, I remember talking with your team who's working in Mexico constantly to rescue children. And they mentioned that every single resort in Mexico or in certain parts of Mexico, clarify this for me, have altars for pagan sacrifices to be done. They have to do it or the construction won't be completed.
They will not finish building the projects until the pagan sacrifices are there. And it's a part of the official thing. It's like, okay, well, no, it's not. Okay, here, you go into any city and you find out who lays the cornerstone or the foundation stone. It's always the Masonic. It's always Masonic.
Right.
Okay, we're like, yeah, but that's not actually a thing. Okay, it is actually a thing.
Yeah.
All you have to do is go to the center of the cities and look who laid the foundation stone.
Yeah.
And what day was it? And how did all that work? It's the same thing there. You cannot officially finish the project unless a sacrifice has been made.
So how widespread is that? Is that just one little city in Mexico or what are we talking about?
It's actually all over South and Central America. And here's what I'm going to tell you. It always requires the blood of children. Always.
Always.
And where those places are taking place is one of the reasons why trafficking is such a big deal all over the world is because children are currency to these devils.
Man.
And the more children that you're able to move, the more children that you're able to traffic, the more children that you're able to sacrifice, the more children that you're able to gather, that is currency because they are like cattle to these animals. They're like cattle. But they're commanded to do so by the deities that they, and the counsel that they get. And this is not something that has started in this generation. This is something that's gone throughout the world, throughout all the generations.
That's interesting. I was in Guatemala and we were ministering and there was a giant mound that was behind this church, this tent meeting. And you're talking about these things that are set up in an area. And I find that many times people act like the demon that's in the area. Mm-hmm. And so I'm there and we started to go into this ministry time, walked into the parking lot and somebody's in a car screaming, all this stuff's happening. We take authority over this demon and this woman comes out of the car and begins to slither like a serpent. And behind this church was a massive mound that was actually a giant serpent throughout that space. And so these people build these things to really empower the deity in the area. And it comes right through the culture. And that applies to the child sacrifice things of exchange.
Okay, well, here's what I want to tell you. Believe it or not, if you're like, well, I'm appalled at that. And the children that we have seen and we have rescued, and you literally, whenever you rescue them, there's a movie set in there that looks just like this. You know, wow. There's lights set up and whatnot. And then you're taking these beautiful little boys or these beautiful little girls out of that place, and you're looking at this, and you're like, who in the world would ever be a part of something? How demonic do you got to be? And now I'm going to tell you who it is. Are you ready? It's Americans.
That's right.
Wow.
It's Americans. Common American men that are engaged in pornography, that are funding it, that are fueling it, because pornography is a part of the entire thing. So pornography is highly monetized. And for every second that you're watching pornography, a dollar is going into some trafficker's pocket. And they get billions and billions and billions of dollars. In the year 2023, the number of uploads that was on Pornhub, if you were going to sit in one single year, in a 12-month period, in 365 days, if you were to sit down and watch that and watch it 24 hours a day, it would take you 164 years to watch the content that was uploaded to one porn site. It would take 164 years to, and here's what I'm going to tell you.
Wow.
I guarantee you 90-something percent of that was non-consensual.
Mm-hmm.
90-something percent of that was part of ritual sex magic, whether people are able to identify it or not. I know what it is because I've seen it in rescuing children all throughout the world. And I'm not afraid to talk about this issue. If Americans and if Europeans were not addicted to pornography, it would shut down child trafficking all over the planet Earth.
Well, you took this right to the Capitol, Troy. You spoke to the Capitol. You speaking to the governor, or I should say the president of Mexico. You've done all these things. And what's the response been when you've brought this to people?
Well, there's been a couple things. One is I was in one certain nation. I don't want to say who, because this guy's still president. And I actually got to go see the president of the nation. And I told him, brother, thank you, sir, for the opportunity to come here. And he said, Troy, you've been coming down here for 20 some years. Thank you for coming. Like, what? How can I help you? And I told him, I said, I know how you can help me, man. You can give me one guy that is in the federal or the state police here that is not involved in trafficking, so that if we get in trouble or if we need help or if we need this, I can call that guy. And he just sat there and he looked across at me and he kind of looked around the room and we're by ourselves and he did this.
Wow.
When a president of a nation tells you there is nobody in this government that is not involved in trafficking, I think you can believe him. That's what I think. In going to Washington, D.C., I did go speak to Washington, D.C., and I had the privilege of going to some CPAC meetings and actually speaking in the Capitol, underneath the Capitol Dome. It was incredible. And right before I got up to speak, I get up there to talk, and I mean, it's like literally 5 minutes before I'm going to speak, and some guy comes over, and he says, hey, Pastor Brewer, we're so happy you're here. I know that you haven't been briefed, so I need to give you counsel and just say, when you get up there, you've got exactly seven minutes and 15 seconds. This is going to happen, that's going to happen, and it's very important that you don't mention pornography, because we're not here to talk about pornography. We're here to talk about trafficking.
Mm.
And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean I'm not able to mention? And Leanna and I had just said, you know, we've been here all day long and we haven't heard one single person talk about pornography.
Yeah. Wow.
Not one single person. And we had just said that. And I went, okay. So I got up there like, king, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Troy Brewer has been all over the world. He's rescued more than 11,000 children. He has 4,000 children under his care. We are happy to have him here with us today. Pastor Brewer, how can you add to this conversation? I said, pornography is the reason why we are here today.
Come on, yeah. Troy.
And I said, if it wasn't for pornography and it wasn't for this, and I just went through all of this, is if you're watching pornography, you're watching a crime scene. If you're watching, because I promise you, over 90% of what has been uploaded there, and recently it's been proved by this go-getter that has gone after this, over 90%, they literally took down 90% of their web, of their content in one day because they knew it was non-consensual.
Wow.
And so I'm like, wow. So I went off on that. And then after all that got over with, two guys that are amazing guys came to me and said, hey, can we talk to you? Mind you, we're in the Capitol building. And so we're in a very secure place. And they got their badges. Everybody's cool. They walk me down the hall and they say, hey, can we talk to you over here for a minute? Like, yes, sir. They take me into this room, and it wasn't a big room. It was a pretty small room for just a couple of people. And it's actually called a skiff. Yeah. And a skiff, they push the button, it goes soundless. And I was like, wow. And they're like, hey, did you see that dude
in the Savannah Banana Yellow Jacket, which Savannah Bananas have nothing to do with this, by the way. I love the Savannah Bananas. And I'm like, yeah, I did. And he said, that guy represents Pornhub, and that guy lobbies Congress to the tune of $100 million a year.
Oh, man.
This is what they told me. And they went, now let me tell you what that guy is going to do. That guy is going to, because he got up and left and said, he is literally going to find out what all of your IP addresses are, what they have been, what your staff's IP addresses are, what your grown children's IP addresses are. And when they find a porn hit on you, what you don't know is on that same exact site where you have viewed pornography, there's also child pornography on the dark side of that. And now they can tie you to child pornography, and they're going to come to you and they're going to say, we're here to make you an offer that you can't refuse. And I told him, I said, I am the dude for that to happen to.
Wow.
I'm getting mad right now thinking about it.
Come on.
I said, you let those clowns come to me and you let them come to me. I promise you, I will blow that up. And they're like, we want you to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I got out of Washington, D.C., I actually told that story and said, do you know that this is how they're able to spread so much money around? Because they have something on everybody.
Yeah, blackmail. Yeah. That's what Epstein Island is, right?
That is Epstein.
That's what they did. It was absolute ritualistic scenarios. It wasn't just to get away for a vacation or get away for the weekend. It's blackmail, right?
Yeah, and I think the whole part of that sexuality and the separation and our Western mindset of sexuality and spirituality is part of the spirit of this age and the spirit of this world, where as men, we can compartmentalize our sexuality from our spirituality. And the problem with that is the Bible, right, Alan? And so
the problem with that there is the Bible.
Bible for the word.
When you see that, that God brings Eve to Adam, and Adam begins singing. A lot of theologians say the very first song recorded in the scriptures is when God brought a naked woman to man. He begins singing.
Busted out in
he
song.
Goes, this is the blood of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. And so we see this incredible place of sexuality and worship and beauty. And it's just, and it's holy that sexuality and marriage and intimacy and union, it is so holy and it's so beautiful. And then we ought to ask what's at stake. And what I love about what you're saying, Troy, is you're looking at it from the side of these children. And I know we're going to get into the spirituality side of what's really taking place here. And I love the exposure side of the conversation, because for a lot of men, they'd be like, well, no, I didn't know. I didn't know I was engaging in a crime scene. I didn't know that I was watching victims. I was seeing something that was very seductive and alluring and to me seemed beautiful, and I got lured in by it. And so there's going to be men that are watching this that there's a spirit exploiting them even through a broadcast like this, saying, yeah, you are wicked and you are dirty and you should be ashamed of yourself and God hates you and those pastors hate you. And for men that are listening, listen, we are four heterosexual men, and we get it.
I'd like to break in right here and say this. There are actually five.
Well, I was questioning.
I started
one
counting.
Of them.
I was like, wait a second.
Do they have to be confident?
No, just leave it. Just leave it. Leave it. I love that.
I literally just thought of that
like
a few minutes ago.
There's four heterosexual. Who's the other?
And one is in question.
It's so obvious. It doesn't.
I did state it. I told you I'm not the numbers guy. And so there's not one guy behind this counter that's going to say we're above you and that we're judging you for the temptation that you're in. But what we're doing is we're pleading with you, because here's what's happened in the church. We see men that have led from the platforms, but functionally women have led the church. Why? Because the lions lost their roar.
Wow.
Because of shame through sexual compromise, or we separated our sexuality from our spirituality. And here's what the Bible says. It says that the compromise will run when no one's even chasing them. And if you're engaging in pornography, if you're giving your soul through the eye gate, you're connecting with people on a screen, you've given your soul to that, you won't be healing the sick. You won't be casting out demons. You definitely won't be casting out demons, because you'll be looking at the same demon that's in you. And there'll be all that intimidations, but it says the righteous
are as bold as lions.
Come on, Darren. Yeah.
And this is what the Lord wants to do, is he wants us to have conversations like this to expose.
I love this stuff.
Like the depth of what's going on. But we're not here to shame you. We're here to fight for you, because as long as you're giving your soul to that, your union with your wife, your worship with your wife, that's being reduced. That's being weakened. The enemy is there. And the Lord gives us our incredible, amazing wives for so many reasons, for worship and all of this. But part of it is for our sexual protection. And so it is so important that we turn this stuff off and we begin to be creative again. We allow for our minds to come alive, and we begin to open up even a purity in our fantasy towards our wives, instead of giving our imagination to women on screens. And so this can be redeemed, and your marriage can be restored, and romance can come alive, because these are virtues that the Lord has created.
So the same children that we rescue from pornography rings, those kids have also participated in sex magic. That is actually part of the ritual of sex magic, is a traumatization of what is happening to them and the knowing that millions of people are going to see it. Mm. That's part of it. So you're actually participating in the Nephilim sex magic that they're actually taking place, and in that witchcraft, by simply viewing it, because that's part of the terror and the shame that is put upon these children.
So what exactly is Nephilim sex magic? You mentioned that earlier. For someone who's never heard that phrase before, right. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a true demonic agenda that is biblical and historical, that can be seen throughout the centuries, that we actually want to contaminate the blood of human beings by building up iniquity, horror within people's lives, and sin and transgression within people's lives, and also by causing demonic things to happen at conception and through birth, through the carrying on of bloodlines. And so this thing has been happening throughout the centuries. Are you guys, I know that y'all are aware of it.
When you think about it, when you think about two ways by which a portal opens, it's usually through bloodshed or through intercourse. When you think about what happens when two come together in covenant union, in that place of intercourse, it takes two to open up a portal. In that place of covenant union, the Lord commands a spirit to come, and we see that place of conception. And so I think it's fascinating how that gets hijacked by these occults, and how they're always using either blood or intercourse in order to access dimensions, but also so other dimensions can access Earth. In that, we know that spirits can't just walk through a wormhole like they do in the comic books. Yep. You know, some sort of thing opens up. It always has to, the way that these demonic beings access the Earth, it has to come through the proper chain of command. It has to come through humanity. And I think it's fascinating how these things are being hijacked and perverted, so that we give ourselves to these realms without even knowing it. And then we see what's accessing us and what's accessing the Earth as we give ourselves to it.
And you can't have authority over it if you're contaminated by it.
It's true.
So as Christians, you mentioned the one particular website that's very popular. They get 2 billion visits every single month. Two billion visits. That's more than Netflix, TikTok, Pinterest, and Instagram combined. Mm. And that's one of these sites. And 57% of young men say they've been captivated by it. 69% of adult men and 40% of women are captivated by it. While in the church, it's 50% down the line, people who are bound by this. And if this is a dominant, occultish, evil scheme, how are we supposed to rise up and take authority over it if we're bound by it ourselves and we're not willing to talk about it?
Mm-hmm. You have to make a stand against it. It's kind of like the stand is literally a Mount Carmel kind of stand.
Wow.
I bet it is.
Because the other is actually Baal worship. It actually requires blood sacrifice. It actually requires the blood of children. Baal worship requires the blood of children. It requires child sacrifice. And child sacrifice is a huge part of this entire industry. And when you make a stand against that and say, I will never be a part of this, I will fight this for the rest of my life, I will expose this, I will talk to my kids about it, talk to my family about it, I refuse to allow this into my life. When you do that, it is literally like an Elijah moment, because as he was fighting the prophets of Baal, that phone becomes the prophet of Baal when you begin to engage in sexual activity on it.
Mm.
You know, it's speaking to the realities of this whole industry. There was a video going around probably about, I'd say, 6 months ago talking. There was a man talking about the realities of the porn industry and how not when people are watching that, they're not always watching an actual human being having sex with another, that there's actual manifestations happening there, demonic manifestations. And he even went into saying how there's warlocks that are involved in this as well. So when people are engaging in this and they're giving themselves over to their flesh, they're actually entering into a sexual covenant with a demonic entity.
That's exactly right.
And when you think about, we were talking about the principalities. Exactly right. Well, in Daniel 10, it talks about the Prince of Persia. We know that biblically there are geographical locations that there are demonic forces that reign.
Yep.
Take that into the internet age. And there is a demonic, probably multiple entities and forces that are reigning over this industry, and they're literally manifesting that people are watching. And so when it's like when we hear different stories and we hear, oh, a demonic thing appeared in my bedroom and stuff, it's easy for us to accept that. But when it comes to this, sometimes people balk at it. But the reality is what you're actually looking at sometimes is not even a human being.
Yeah, I think it's interesting on TikTok that we're getting to the manifesting. One of our other episodes of The Counter, we get into manifesting and this whole idea. And Joseph Z, what you were sharing was just fascinating on that topic and biblical principles, biblical laws that are being used in the occult but are now trending. I think it's fascinating to think that in the past, to have this kind of occultic knowledge, you'd have to be a part of the Freemasons, or you'd have to be a pretty high level up in the occult. Mm. Now our kids are getting it on TikTok without having to sign any sort of blood covenants. So now you have witch talk that's always trending on TikTok. You have sex magic, which is now, so people hear on something like this and they think Nephilim sex magic, this isn't even a thing. Nobody's talking. Well, your kids are talking about it.
Yeah,
your kids are learning about it. And what's interesting is it was, I believe, Aleister Crowley, who's dead, thank God. But he's making a massive comeback right now. And he was one that really was kind of an evangelist of sex magic in his generation. Now his teachings are being regurgitated through, millennial young women. And this idea of finding a man and using a man, simply to come to the point of orgasm by which you throw out your intent into the universe. So at the moment of orgasm is the highest place of climax, energetically. So manipulating the energetic field at the point of climax to cast out your intent into the universe. Mm. And at that point, it'll come back. So imagine all these manifesting techniques. Yeah, they're all child's play. Sex magic is one of the highest levels of magic. And they would consider it white magic when you're using it for good. You know, and it'd be black magic, black sex magic, when you're using it for evil to manipulate others. So this is what's happening, not just in the occult. This is what's happening, not just with witches and covens. We think of that. We think Nephilim sex magic. This is happening out in the woods with highly advanced. No, this is unfortunately happening with 15, 16, 17 year olds.
As it always has.
We're not looking for love. They're looking for just human.
Yeah.
In order to manipulate that body
in order to bring power.
So that they can get what their soul wants.
This is the way it always has been through the Word of God. Whenever you have the worship of Diana, it involves sexual things. When you had the Oracle of Delphi, that involves sexual things. And you go through all this whenever Paul was talking about, how in the world can you, if you being the temple of the Holy Ghost, how in the world can you become one with the prostitute when you are the temple of the Lord?
Right.
It's because that prostitution was seen as a demonic temple.
Wow.
It was actually seen as that. There was magic that was involved in that. Going all the way back to the Old Testament, whenever you see the people of God saying, hey, man, we don't know that we want to go off into the promised land because there's giants over there. The first thing that God Almighty did was cause those wanderers that refused to go in because of giants to go and attack the hills of Bashan and actually attack Og, which the supernatural power behind that and those power spirit and those demonic things, they show up at the cross. And the Jesus says, I see the bulls of Bashan, they are around me. He's talking about those demonic powers,
right,
and those are sexual powers attacking him at the cross. And like, where does that, how do you know that? Because they took the bed of Og as a holy relic and shut it down. It was the bed that was the powerhouse, the bed of Og, the biblical bed of Og, which he was a giant, and it gives the dimensions of his bed because those things were magical dimensions. Like, come on, it's all the way through the Word of God.
And this place of pedophilia actually ends up becoming a hacking mechanism to achieve immortality. And I think that that's a part of the Epstein situation.
Absolutely.
Where people simply see that as a power play. I'm going to feel powerful by positioning myself over young people. But it's actually more sinister, believe it or not, it's actually more sinister than that. This place of union with children, they believe, it even goes back to Molech.
They believe scholars, they're stealing their youth.
Scholars actually say that, with, yeah, even though it's not in the Bible, that Molech involved cannibalism to achieve the power, virtue, that place of oneness with one in their innocence. So that they think that it's, they're literally adding years to their life through pedophilia.
I want to go back to what I was saying this, and friends, I want to just tell you this. If you're being entertained by pornography, that's what you are a part of, whether you know it or not. And that's the reality that I want to bring to people and say this, that look, the kids that we have rescued and the kids at other ministries like ours have rescued, and we've rescued them from these pornographic rings. It's all magic. It's
wow.
all magic.
Wow.
And you're feeling it, you're funding it, and then also, too, you're being lured into
wow.
it in
yeah.
such a
wow.
way
on,
that
try.
Even the pornography industry itself is designed to take you to another level, another level,
wow.
another
right.
level, another level. And not only that sexually, but also, too, you, in order to go to the next level, you've got to learn how to surf the web in a much more dark way so that by the time that you want to actually abuse a child, you know where to find them, you know how to connect with them, you drive down to the border, you hook up with your app, you've got Instagram, they show you 25 kids on there, you're like, I want this one and that one and that one. They come across the border, you pay your money down, you spend the day over there, you come back, you drive back home to your wife and kids, and studies show that if you do that one time, you will do that at least 70 more times
wow, man.
Before you are caught.
Man.
70 times. So where did that start off with? It just started off as a kid. You got a phone and you're like, wow, that's attractive. Wow, that's beautiful. Wow, that's cool. Oh my gosh, I can identify with that. And it takes you, it's a seducing spirit.
Sure.
I mean, it is literally by nature a seducing spirit. And it seduces you literally by a spirit of witchcraft that you cooperate and you are actually funding and paying for the molestation and the blood of children.
And our elites are in on it. They're in on it. You look at Bohemian Grove. You look at what's going on with
Bohemian Grove is a prime example.
They're worshiping Molech. You see what's going on with Epstein Island. You see what's going on, not just there, but look at what's going on with Puffy. All the stuff that came out there. They are doing this to also control people. That's why they don't let these things out very easily.
That's right.
They're hiding it, and it's all throughout the government. You know, I think of this, Troy. This is really powerful. Every time darkness goes and goes and goes unchecked, unchecked and unchecked, there comes a point where darkness sows so far that eventually it reaps something. It begins to reap a reformer. And that's what happened in the case on Mount Carmel. The spirit of Elijah showed up on that mountain.
Wow.
And when he stepped on that mountain, they had sown and sown and sown. And those 850 prophets that were there, they were tied to Jezebel, who was running the voice of God out of the nation, trying to run the voice of God out and bring perversion in, kill the prophets, kill the people like you that are standing up to say, no, we're not having this. When Elijah showed up, the first thing those prophets did is they started cutting themselves. They began to cut themselves and let blood out because they were doing exactly what you're talking about, claiming that
yep.
place. And you know, there's a spirit through this program, The Counter, that's standing up and saying, we
Come
are going to turn the tide on this thing.
Come on.
And as we turn the tide, it is the spirit of Elijah because darkness has sown and sown and sown. And it is about to reap a reformation spirit of Elijah that's going to come and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers.
Come on.
Through health and the power of God and breaking this stuff off. So that's what I see. I see what happened on Mount Carmel. And you told me this. They took those wicked prophets down and killed them in the Valley of Megiddo.
Yeah.
Where the last day's battle is going to happen.
Yeah, everybody doesn't realize that that place where Elijah killed them is literally Armageddon.
Wow.
That's literally, he took them to Armageddon.
Come on,
Armageddon, and he slew 400 of them, which is so cool. Like, you guys just wait in line. I'm going to take you guys out one by one. Literally in the Valley of Armageddon. So imagine when Jesus comes back and he fights against that demonic army, that's where they gather. This whole thing is tied in together.
Now, admittedly, this has got to be the weirdest conversation any Christian program has ever had. So congratulations, everyone, for being a part of this.
Yeah.
But when you say that that these kids that we're rescuing, that you and other organizations are rescuing, that it's a part of magic, that there's a magic element.
Absolutely.
How do you know that?
Because I've seen it.
What is that? What did you see that makes you think that there's magic involved?
These kids have actually, they described to us what they've been through. We've seen it. We see the scars on their body. We have to do their reconstructive surgeries. We pay for that. And the same kids, the kids that we rescue in India, have gone through the same exact rituals as the kids in Mexico that have gone through the same exact rituals as the kids in Central America.
So the kids are telling you about these ritual experiences that they've been through.
2,000%.
Wow.
I mean, and it's actually part of their therapy, and it's also part of the law thing that has to happen. They have to tell, and it's documented actually what happens to them. And it is, I mean, people come in from the outside and dictate exactly the rituals. So they condition these children for these rituals first. And I want to tell you how they condition them. Guys, you need to know this. Do you know how you condition a child to go through sexual ritualism? Are you ready for this? You simply have them watch pornography. You put them in a room and you have televisions all over the place and you put 24/7 pornography onto it. And within a couple of days, they are conditioned and they will do anything.
So we have an entire generation in America that's being conditioned.
Being conditioned.
For this kind of thing.
That's exactly right.
So knowing that the cartels are heavily involved in
this. Witchcraft.
Cartels are religious organizations.
They are very much, you know, the Holy Dead, which we deal with in Mexico. And I mean, it's one of the scariest, you know, the Zetas and all these other guys. But man, Santo Muerto is a really scary bunch, and they literally worship death. And so they always have tattoos that's on them that is Mary and baby Jesus, but they're both skeletons.
Wow. Mm.
And so they worship death. They call it holy. They mix Catholicism with it, and it involves the blood of children, like all Bell magic has throughout the centuries. And it's the pornography industry.
Wow. You know, last year I was summoned to testify at a trial, and the backstory is we had a high-level banker in our region that was being tormented by demons, and he couldn't stand it anymore and ended up coming to us and telling us what was going on. And so there had to be confession. The problem with that was it was the kind of confession where we had to go to the authorities. And so what he was doing is he was astral projecting into the bedrooms of children, grooming them in their bedrooms
through astral projection.
Wow. He confessed this to us. And so we had to go to the authorities. And when we did, they said, "What's his name?" And we said his name, and they already knew who he was, but they didn't have a confession. So, well, we have it. He confessed this to several in our body.
Can I please stop you and say this? You guys know this. People do not know this all over the world. But if someone talks to us as a pastor, there's no such thing as a client attorney proof.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
If somebody talks to us and says, "I have molested a child," you either report those people, or when it comes out, you will also be found guilty of the same crime.
Absolutely.
And so it's very important that if you are a leader in the body of Jesus, it's very important that if you're a pastor, you need to know this, that if somebody reveals to you that there's some kind of a sexuality going on with the child, you will be held accountable, man, if you do not report that.
And so, we do it immediately.
Of course.
We don't sit on that. And we train our teams that information has to go to the top immediately.
Yep.
And so now, once we brought it to the authorities and they arrested the guy, he said, "I'm innocent. I didn't do this. I don't know what anyone's talking about." So now it's going to go to trial because he's saying he's innocent. He didn't actually do this, even though he confessed it. So his prosecuting attorneys, met with me. And so I'm preparing to be grilled because they want to sit down. They want to pin you down, find inconsistencies in your story. And it was kind of fun. The one was a Catholic lady and the other was an atheist. And so we're having a conversation. I said, "Well, this is what he said. You know, he said that he would astral project. Do you understand what that is?" And they're like, "No." And so anyways, I got to take them to the school of the supernatural and educate them. Their eyes are this big around. And I said, "You know, have you ever seen The Exorcist?" They said, "Well, of course we have." I said, "Yeah, that was based on a true story. And that stuff happens all the time. We see it all the time. Maybe not that level of possession, but that's what your client was going through, that little girl that was being possessed by the demon, that's what your client is going through. And so anyways, we were going to go to trial, and it got all the way up to last August, and we got notice that he pled guilty, and we didn't have to go to trial.
Praise the Lord.
The reason why I tell that story is that people need to understand that, yeah, this is magic. This is occultism. And I would assume that this story is a lot more common than what we know.
Yeah.
So could I speak to the seriousness of what we're talking about here? Because you mentioned about Aleister Crowley earlier, and a lot of people know the name, but they don't know how serious he took some of this stuff. The man was on record for saying, "I don't have sex for pleasure." Everything he did was about sexual magic, and he would have a lot of homosexual magic because he took it that serious. It wasn't that he was homosexual himself, but he felt it gave him more power. And so when we're talking about the depth of this sexual magic, it starts with the people that these people today worship. They're followers of Crowley. And so when you mentioned earlier about the leveling up, I have seen that in people's experiences. And the one that pops out in my head the most is this woman. It started with this guy that I was had on my show, and he had this experience where he was taken out of his body in the middle of having sex with his girlfriend. And he found himself going through this wild, bizarre experience. And to save time on the details, he essentially finds himself walking through this cave system. And as he comes up to this large open cave room, he hears a voice that says, "You're now entering the throne room." He walks in, and there's a man dressed in black recruiting him to come work for him. He ultimately declines, and he wakes up. He's sitting in his bed. She's there. She slaps him across the face. "If you ever do that to me again, I'll kill you." And he's like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." Well, he came on my show, told me this wild story. And as I prodded and asked more questions, he said, "Well, let me go meet with my ex-girlfriend and see if I can get more information out of her." I'm like, "Was your wife going to allow you to do that?" Turns out that's his wife's sister. So it was okay, I guess. But they sat down and they had this conversation in a diner. And I have it on recording. She told him that night he had basically become possessed by a demonic entity, and he walked her throughout the house. Every time, and this was her words, every time they went into a new room, it was like a sick game that he was leveling up on. He enters the final room and he says to her, "You're now entering the throne room." She said, "You proceed to rape me. And while you were raping me, there was a demonic entity." She said there was a large black shadow figure standing behind him while he did this. So that's how connected the demonic entities, these principalities are to sex and the industry of pornography. And it's definitely working its way in through the human trafficking of the children. Get them young.
65% of all child pornography on the planet Earth is made in Mexico. 65%. Wow. So if you can make a difference in Mexico, you can literally make a difference throughout the entire planet Earth. All right. So why is that? Why is 65% of all child pornography throughout the planet Earth made in Mexico?
America.
Because of the great United States of America and our sexual addiction to pornography, which leads us into child molestation. So one of the things that we have to deal with it here within the States. You got to be able to go. It's not taboo to talk about sexual things. It's taboo to partner with a sexual spirit.
That's right.
And this other thing is baloney. The other thing is religion. What's real is everybody has sexuality, whether it's active or it's not. Everybody has to deal with this thing. And what's real is by making that a religious thing, we've let something attack us.
That's right.
And destroy us. Of course, there's situations that are appropriate and that are not to talk about such things. But I want to just tell you, no woman on my staff should ever feel uncomfortable because she's a woman.
That's right. That's
Nobody
good.
Should.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And you ask anybody on my staff, you see if we won't deal with that
That's
real quick.
Right.
Excuse
yeah.
me? Because, man, this thing is so prevalent within all of us. And what's real is this sexual spirit that is in America is a Roman spirit that has been transported here from Rome. It literally comes with the eagle that came from Rome and came over here.
There it is.
Right on. And then it came with that deity and with the symbol of that spirit. And if we don't deal with it, it leads us. I recognize that children are groomed and they are trained And they are constructed, and so are women. They are constructed and groomed into certain sexuality. Just exactly like that. Men and women today, every single time you're watching pornography, you're being groomed. Mm. It's like you are a child that is sitting up on the lap of some filthy old goat. Mm-hmm. And you think that you're okay, and you think that you're safe, but actually you're being groomed towards a certain behavior, and it is witchcraft.
Man. Troy, how, like people watching right now, how do you tell them to protect the innocence of their children?
Wow.
How can they do
it? That's your question.
How can we protect the kids, or what safeguards can we bring as leaders and parents?
Our innocence is actually a covenant issue. It is actually a covenant issue. Without going into the detail, if you could look back biblically, people could tell if a woman was a virgin or not on their wedding night, and they made a big deal out of it, and they celebrated it.
Right.
Right? I know that you guys know about all that. Okay. Our innocence is a covenant issue that has to do with our loyalty and our fear of the Lord. So the issue is not, am I a dude or not? Because I'm fiercely a dude. Okay? The issue is, am I loyal to the Lord or not?
That's good. Come on,
okay,
Troy.
You constantly compound that, and you constantly grow that. When it comes to our children, protecting our child's innocence is a big part of our covenant with the Lord.
Yeah,
it's not just a family issue; mm-hmm. It is actually a covenant with God issue. And say, I will be a man of God, and I will be a protector of my house.
Yes.
What they see, what they hear, what they experience, what comes in, and here's what I'm going to tell you: if we are privately looking at pornography, mm-hmm. and we're engaged in pornography, but we are publicly leading our house in a way that is good dad, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter, because that spirit,
that's right.
The Bible says the iniquity of the fathers is passed down to the children. Not the transgressions of the fathers, but the iniquities of the fathers. The hidden sin within us that we have participated in is actually what is passed down to the fourth generation.
Specifically through the father.
Through the father. That's a really big deal. So I'm like, okay, well, there is no, if I can say this, if any of us as men, if we're attracted to pornography, there's no way you can look at pornography without seeing same-sex pornography. It's going to show up. And any teenage boy is going to look at that. And teenage boys, many times, are not even comfortable with an image of a man in there. So it'll be two girls. That is a same-sex spirit, and it attacks their identity. And they think that they're manning up, and they think that they're being an awesome boy. But what they don't know is a same-sex spirit is actually entering into their life, and it will attack them in a different way.
Wow.
So if you're engaging in that, like, I don't know why so many of my kids and so many of my grandkids have turned out to be fighting this homosexuality thing. Dude, you spent 30 years of your life watching same-sex pornography.
Well, and according to what
you invited
saying,
that spirit in.
According to what you're saying, that's why we're seeing the gender mutilation. That's why we're seeing identity crisis. It all started with the fathers of households allowing this stuff in, and here we see this right now.
You have to see it as witchcraft. It will overcome you if you just see it as a part of regular sexuality. It is witchcraft, and that's how Paul taught us to deal with our sexuality. That's how the Bible tells us. When you see this, man, you are partnering with a demon. You know, the only place in the Bible that it says run for your life is flee youthful lust. Mm. Bell, get out of that sexual environment. Do not participate in it. Do not think that you can handle it. I mean, the only place in the entire Bible says you better get up and get out of that situation and cancel the whole thing as quick as you can is flee youthful lust. And I'm telling you, I've seen what has happened to good people that have gone all the way down that track, and I've had to raise kids that were molested by those monsters that got engaged into that terrible witchcraft that they didn't see it as witchcraft.
I think one of the things that's interesting is how it ties in with the Nephilim and Nephilim sex magic, in that the Nephilim agenda was basically an extinction agenda to eliminate the image bearers of God.
That's strong.
And so when I look at this GLBTQ agenda, it's a Nephilim agenda. It's an anti-Christ agenda. It's an anti-life agenda. So the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy our children. It's interesting. A friend of mine was in Korea doing a meeting, and there was a transgender kid that his mom brought. So his mom drug him to church. He didn't want to be there. and ended up manifesting a demon. And it was quite violent. It was a very violent thing in this service. And so my friend, is trying to cast this thing out. All of a sudden a voice comes out and says, I'm going to kill this man. And he said, who are you? He says, I'm the spirit of murder. And when we think about that, oftentimes we think we need to cast out a transgender spirit. No, that's not a transgender spirit. That is a spirit of murder that's using sexual confusion in transgenderism. So what we see, the suicide statistics within that community, it's absolutely outrageous. And yet they blame the church. They say because of the wing, because of the church, so many of our young people are killing themselves. No, it is a spirit of murder. It is a spirit of suicide. And so there is so much at stake. Are we going to affirm, you know, the affirmation of sin or the celebration of sin is the definition of injustice.
Yes.
And when you look at our legal system that has permitted, not just permitted sin, celebrated sin, putting the rainbow flag on the side of the, projecting the rainbow colors on the side of the White House.
Yes.
Our nation has done
that. Our definition of covenant, not God's definition of covenant, our definition of covenant. Oh, it's bad.
It's bad.
That is not good. If
it's a fight for life, you know, we say we're pro-life. That's so much bigger of a conversation than abortion. It has everything to do with abortion. Absolutely. This abortion agenda is part of the GLBTQ agenda, and it's underneath this Nephilim agenda. And there needs to be a modern day ark. There needs to be a modern day people of refuge. There needs to be shepherds with a shepherd's rod where a generation can come underneath the shepherd's rod.
Where are the men of God who can be involved in ministry for 30 or 40 years and have never molested a child?
Yeah.
Wow. Where are those people? Wow. Where are the men of God that can be in ministry for 30 or 40 years and hasn't been having sex with their staff?
Wow.
Yeah. Where are the men of God that can actually be a dude and be happy with being a dude, but can't fall off the wagon when it comes to sexual things? I want to just tell you this, man. I'm not playing with you, whoever it is that you're watching. Get with the program or be devoured. And the collateral damage that it causes, I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of the whole thing. I'm totally tired of it. When we were talking about this LGBTQ thing, we rescued a child, a 15-year-old girl last year, and her daddy was literally a cartel guy, he was a trafficker, and he trafficked kids. That's what he did. This little girl grew up in that environment, completely separate from the children that were being trafficked. But she had an acute awareness that there were kids that were being trafficked. And it's because the Holy Spirit started moving on her, because she has a different spirit, she has a different heart, she set those kids free. And she set them free. Her thinking that her dad was her dad and that he wasn't a monster, he didn't say, it's okay, I understand that you're confused. Listen, we're trafficking. You know, it was like this. Oh, if you're going to be on your side, I'll turn you over. And the trafficker turned that beautiful little girl over to his worst monsters. And his worst monsters, let me tell you what they did with her. They literally trained her to think she was a boy. And they did it through witchcraft, and they did it through abuse, and they did that by actually making her watch pornography over and over and over. And then she became a part of a pornography ring that is a lesbian pornography ring. And then big time lesbians from the United States started coming down there to molest that little girl. I guarantee there's no telling how many dudes watched that pornography and said, well, that's obviously not, you know, that's not anything bad. This is just people express. That girl was a slave, and that was part of her torture, was for her to no longer understand her sexuality. Now, the good news is I got her now, and we rescued her.
Come on.
And we literally cast a demon out of her. A demon. And if you saw her today, Pastor Swanamy, she's in the house here today. Some of you other guys have been with me down there to the border and have actually met this little girl. She is feminine again. She's beautiful. She's a worship leader. She prayed. The last time I went down there, I had a prayer. You know, I wanted to pray for her. She said, Pastor Troy, I've got this big prayer for you. And she'd been working on it. It was like a skillfully crafted prayer.
Come on.
She's full of the Holy Ghost. But you need to understand her descent into the demonic was a descent into lesbianism. And it is all the same. And let me tell you what, funded by Christian men who were watching same-sex pornography. Okay. Romans 1. Not only are those held responsible who do such things, but those who are entertained by it.
Wow.
That's the word of God. That's what it says. And we got to stop it. We got to sound the alarm. And we got to tell everybody we cannot be a part of this.
And that spirit of seduction, even in Eden, it came first to Eve and then it came to Adam. This thing is so enticing. It's so luciferic. And it's an attack against men, but it's also an attack against women. And I think that that's one of the things that we need to see is through that enticing, through that seduction, there's such an agenda in it to take men from being, you know, character and nature of God and sons and heroes and those that are willing to go into Mexico and into the nations and to rescue children, into that place where men should not be predators. Men should be heroes. We need to raise our son to think like heroes and not to think like predators. Christian men, pastors, should not be in their churches slithering around, you know, seducing and enticing.
And looking for an opportunity.
You know, and so we need to raise up our young men of, there's two mindsets. You know, you're not a wolf. You're a shepherd. These girls, these are your sisters. We need to be looking out for them, fighting for them. And if people have taken on that predator mindset, like they're looking at women in the church, in the world, they're going to bars, they're going to apps and swiping, or even to a further insidious, they're on encrypted apps looking at children. Listen, there has to be humility. There has to be honesty. You have to be willing to say, this isn't right. This is demonic. This is luciferic. And so just today, even just pleading with people just to be honest and to be humble and to confess what you are in, bring it into the light so that the power of God can show up and dismantle that system of the occult and that luciferic agenda to get you out of that death system and to pull you into life.
Okay. Here, I've got to tell you guys this so that everybody hears me say this to you guys. Okay. Whenever we recently busted a big ring and we rescued this little girl, she was, I don't remember how, so it's wanted me to tell you how old she was. She wasn't very old. She worked in a bar. She was a prostitute, yada, yada, yada. We set her free. We actually funded the team that actually busted it. And then whenever we did all that, this little girl was saying, hey, we got all these, there are all these photographs of all these other kids. And they were not kids that had been abducted yet. They were kids that actually they were thinking about abducting. And they got to look at this. And this one guy said, I know who this is. I know this little girl and I know where she lives. So they go down there and talk to her. They get her parents and say, there are pictures of your daughter here. And there are innocent pictures of her. And they asked her, who took these pictures? And she's looking at her like, what are you doing here? And she said, I was buying ice cream. Was taken by the ice cream man that was going around, and they had all these cameras that were set up on the the ice cream truck.
Wow,
and they were going around and they were marking the kids that came out, where they lived and how old they were. But here's why they were looking for them. Are you ready? Because this is really important. See, when you're watching, when you get on these apps and when you're watching next level pornography, not only are you watching that, they're watching you watch it. And you get on a hit list. You get on a marketing list. Yeah. Hey, this guy visited a 9-year-old porn site. This year, this guy visited. And then what they will do is they will watch and they know mathematically, scientifically, and through witchcraft when you're ready to be privately hit up. And they go, boom. You see this little girl? We know where she's at. We know how to get her. And this is how much she'll cost. And they are literally, the market for child trafficking is through pornography. So if you're watching that, they're watching you watch that, and they're planning on you buying a child.
Speaking of being a predator, there was a man that they interviewed who was arrested for molesting children. And he even said that what he does, speaking to the ice cream truck idea, is he would case homes where the father was absent.
Yes.
So it wasn't
all that.
He was not going after strong men. Yes. He was going after weak men or where men were absent.
Yeah.
And so it should be a call to the men of the household.
That's right.
To be strong in their position and don't abandon the post. You're leaving your children open for seduction.
So people are super just grossed out by this entire conversation, as they should be. and they want to do something about it, how do we partner with a ministry like yours in order to start setting kids free?
Well, you can literally partner with us. I mean, you literally can. You know, you can go to troybrow.com. You can go to odx.tv. And when you partner with us, you're jumping into the fight because we're engaged in this and we have been for 30 years. And now everything is ramping up now that we're actually working with governments. Businesses can partner with us. You know, every single kid that we rescue, it costs another $1,200 a month. Every child we rescue, including the two we rescued today.
Man.
Hallelujah.
So awesome.
Because of the compliance, I mean, with this kind of trafficking, there, you have to have professional psychiatrists involved. You have to have lawyers involved. You have to have different kind of teams in order to remain in compliance with the government to receive these children. And that hasn't been the case for us in the past. We just raise kids. We just got them, we snatched them, we got them, we raised them. Okay, now that we're working with governments, we're more effective, but there's a lot more compliance and there's a lot more cost involved with it. And so the financial thing is really a big part. I mean, we need to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars because we want to move from taking care of 4,000 kids to 40,000 and 400,000.
That's right.
I mean, this is nothing for the body of Jesus. Now that I've said that, Pastor Allen, I tell you this. If everybody watching this would just simply say, as of this day, I will never be a part of pornography for the rest of my life.
Come on.
You would stop millions of dollars from coming to the cartel that we are having to fight.
Wow.
And that is very encouraging to me because I know a big part of the revival that is taking place right now is a family revival.
Yes.
Mamas are raising up. Daddies are raising up. We're raising up our kids. There's a tremendous family revival that has taken place. And for too long, we have just allowed for this kind of activity and we have allowed demons into our lives and we can't do it anymore.
That's right.
All right. I'd like for us to pray for everybody.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
You want to lead us in prayer, man?
I do want to, man.
Come on.
I want to look right at everybody right now. In the name of Jesus, you know, I think Pastor Darren brought it out so well that, you know, we're not here to shame you. We're here to bring you out. We're here to bring you into a place of freedom. You know, and the Lord God Almighty, He loves you very much. He did not create you for perversion. He did not create you to be in bondage. He created you to walk freely and lightly and be a good father to your family and children or just a man. A young man, a young lion, whether you're single or married or wherever you are. And you can right now simply say, I repent of looking at pornography. I repent of letting these things run through my mind. And if you still struggle, you can find someone to talk to. You can contact this ministry. You are not alone. And I'm telling you, God wants you free even more than you want to be free.
That's right.
Because your destiny is on the other side of that bondage. And so God wants you out of this. So I just begin to lift you up right now. If you're struggling in this area and this is impacting your life, or maybe there's abuse in your house, we begin to speak the life and love of God over you right now. And the delivering power of Almighty God come right where you are.
That's
setting
right.
Setting your mind free, setting your heart free. We are not condemning you. We're calling you out from bondage so you can stand the way God marked you to be.
Yes.
You're built for greatness.
Yes.
Amen.
Hey, I want to say this too. I want to add this to this mystery. If you're watching this and you're like, hey man, I feel so bad because I've spent 20 years of my life watching pornography. I'm addicted to pornography. I promise I'm a good dude. I just had no idea that I was a part of witchcraft. I was a part of child trafficking. I had no idea. Can I just tell you something? First of all, a big time part of that spirit that goes with pornography is shame.
Yes.
And shame makes you hide. And then you're by yourself and then you're in bad company. And it starts off with just getting caught on a bad day. Anybody can get caught on a bad day on anything. I promise you, I totally get that. And if you're thinking, man, I'm bad. Dude, we're all bad. Everybody's bad. Everybody is bad, I promise. You're like, well, I'm just bad. I'm telling you, yeah, dude, we're all bad. But let me tell you, not everybody puts their foot down and says, I'm going to be holy before the Lord, and I'm going to reconsecrate myself. To say, consecration just literally means I'm going to rededicate my life in a whole new way because this has been presented to me. And friends, I want to tell you, this has been presented to you now. So do something with this. Don't ignore this. Don't ignore this. There is a grace for you to walk in victory of this. I'm somebody that rescues children all over the world. Nobody has a hatred for pornography that I know of more than me. I hate it. I can't tell you how much I hate it. And I am so mad about it. But I also understand how people are caught up in it, because I could be caught up in it. Any human being could be caught up in it. If you're male, or if you're, or even if you're female. And I'm telling you the truth. Now that this has been presented to you, what are you going to do with this?
Come on.
You're just going to go back to business as usual? Or are you actually going to say, dadgummit, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God, and there's a grace on me to overcome this, and I'm going to put my foot down, and I'm stopping this thing today.
Yes.
You can do that. You can do that. We are not comic superheroes, comic book superheroes. I'm a normal dude like anybody else, and I've had to reconsecrate myself over and over and over again and go, my sexuality has nothing to do with any of this mess, and I'm susceptible to it, but I can't, because I've seen what it is. And when Darren said it's a spirit of murder, yep. I promise you, I have spoken to children who are demon-possessed. I said, who are you? And they said, I am murder. I've heard it. I've heard it from traffickers. And so a suicide spirit goes with that as well. And so I just want to just, I declare in the name of Jesus, a new kind of holiness on you. You're not as crazy. You're not as bad as you think you are, because holiness belongs to you. The Spirit of the Lord is with you. God Almighty is for you. A brand new Psalms 91 hedge of protection upon you,
yeah,
to protect your life,
amen,
from this mess. And as you repent, I declare God Almighty will hear you. He will heal you. He will love you. He will set you free. That's my proclamation. Now, Father, release your angels,
amen,
for the performance of,
yes,
your
God,
word.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, we declare it. Amen, amen.
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 Well, I call you guys blessed. Thank y'all so much, man, for joining me on this thing. I don't know that there's ever been a show like this on the planet Earth before.
I don't think so.
Got into some stuff.
We got into some stuff, man. We really have. Friends, I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Bye-bye, everybody. The most basic foundational truth of Christianity, the bedrock of Christianity, is that the Father tells you who Jesus is.
Before you're born again, you can be susceptible to spiritual events.
Instead of saying, I'm not like Joseph, I'm not prophetic, I don't hear God like he does, I don't do the whiteboard thing like he does, what we should do is celebrate the gift of God and each other,
yeah,
but say, I am prophetic, I hear God's voice, I know the voice of my shepherd.
My prayer that night when I got saved was, Lord, please make this, it was more like, you better make this real. So real that I don't go back.
Seven times in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, he that hath an ear to hear to perceive, to understand, to see.